Welcome to the Light Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and also all podcast catchers, iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening or watching to us, YouTube. It's a Dark Mark show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. I'm not sure why my camera's giving me this odd angle, but it's nice. It's very good. It's almost like a drone. It's really on top of me, so it's good. Welcome to the Dark Mark show. Once again, I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. There she is, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening.
And Nicole, you might be a little softer than usual because we're at Pirate.com, and I'm not blaming Pirate.com. I love the studios here, but whoever had the podcast before us wrecked the microphone arm, and they are going to podcast hell.
Yes. Literally. Yes.
How are you, Nicole?
I'm good. I'm going to try to keep things upbeat, even though I'm a little on the soft side.
No, that's okay. And then, I mean, people were asking you for podcast advice this week.
They were. And I said, get yourself a zany co-host.
A zany co-host? Is that what?
I said zany? A co-host that compliments you.
Right. I didn't know I was officially zany. But you said you also said get some really good guests.
Guests are important.
And we have some really good guests. One that's just like last week. One that's an old friend and one that's a new friend.
Yes, that's true.
And the new friend's right here. And she is the... I know I'm gonna get this wrong. Okay. But you are the captain of the Nerd Legion?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Well, what is the official title?
I'm commander of the Nerd Legion.
Commander of the Nerd Legion. How dare I would do 10 push-ups, but nerds can't do push-ups. It's a very funny comedian, actress, director, producer. She does all sorts of things. Erica Innes.
Hello.
And I've also seen you at Bar Sinister, and that's where I recognize you. And you're sitting next to the longest running DJ at the longest running goth club in Hollywood.
That is insane.
Am I lying?
No, I think that might be right. I mean, there's other clubs that have been older that keep having like their anniversary party every year, but they've been defunct for
right.
You know, so I guess technically, yeah.
Yeah, because Helter Skelter comes around, but it's only like once a year. But you're there week in, week out at Bar Sinister, more than once a week.
Oh yeah,
spinning the goth. Making people creepy. It's and also the lead singer, multi instrumentalist of the band Severed.
Yeah,
that's DJ Tommy, and say your last name because I can never pronounce it right.
Oh, it's a wild one. When I was in the Navy, they always pronounced it Sikorsky, but it's Sikorsky.
Tommy Sikorsky.
That's it.
What a goth name! You never thought of getting a goth nom de plume?
I do. I have
a goth pseudonym.
You know, there are so many DJs I have those, but it just didn't. I'm already dorky enough, so I think I didn't want to make it worse.
So that's DJ Tommy
Sikorsky.
Sikorsky. I'm down to my last energy drink from these guys. This is the best right here. You said, could you get something like one of those standard energy drinks you get at 7-Eleven in the stores? This is what you got to get is Raised energy drink. And this is, Nicole was telling me today how great the Galaxy Burst flavor is.
Mm-hmm.
Raise energy drink is not only the best tasting energy drink, and they have Galaxy Burst, and I've got a case coming probably later this week, maybe early next week, of the Voodoo Fruit Punch flavor.
Which is also delicious, and I can't wait to mix it with vodka.
And also they have a great Baja Lime flavor, sour yes. gummy worms. They have all sorts of flavors, and the best part, zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. Go ahead and use the code that we have in the show description and get a Raise energy drink today. Get your case. You get 15% off with our code.
And I can attest to the fact that everything is true. I had a Raise energy drink last week, and it was delicious, and I did not crash at all. There was no crash.
And you were full of energy.
I was full of energy.
Well, speaking of full energy, here's Erica. Now, Erica, now I was doing some digging into you. It's funny because Erica, obviously active in the goth scene, and I know you from the goth scene, and I also know you because you always came up like every day on my OK Cupid, and yeah. I don't know if I ever came up on yours, but I know you came up on mine, and it was like, this is my dream girl, except she does comedy, so
yeah.
So I was like, should I say yes or no? And I just would always freeze there, and then the next day you would appear again. So
I'm sorry.
No, but I remember you at the goth clubs, and I remember like people telling me about you and that you did comedy, and I never saw you actually live that I can remember. Obviously, we did a couple shows that I forgot. We did a show last couple weeks ago at Flappers, Goss and Friends.
Yep.
And you're very funny.
Thank you.
And I come to find out that you're a bit of a genius.
I don't think that's true.
You went to Stanford.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. I mean, isn't that all geniuses go to Stanford?
I don't know.
I know you're from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody could, I mean, you can't just walk into Stanford.
No, I don't think so.
See? So you are smart.
But it's like way harder now. I think it would be more impressive now. I don't think I could get in now, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, you see some of the stuff people do to get in and stuff, yeah.
But I've seen your act. You're so analytical.
Thanks.
Who designated you the commander of the Nerd Nation?
Oh, I just thought it'd be like a fun title to put on my Twitter, so I did.
Who are the rest of the members of the Nerd Nation? Are there other people that are a lower rank than commander?
I didn't think it out that far. I just thought it'd be like a cool thing as someone that's like performing like for a fan base. Like,
okay.
So like people have t-shirts and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's great because you have on your website Twitter tips, which I definitely can use.
Oh. Because
my Twitter game sucks. It's so bad. Is your Twitter game good, Tommy?
I'm got off with Twitter. I just updated after maybe like 2 years, maybe a couple weeks ago, and yeah, still really got off with
it. I post during the Super Bowl and the Oscars and every time there's a new news thing, and I think I'm putting out funny stuff, and people, like, there's one guy that retweets everything, but that's it. One guy. Chris Grant retweets everything, and he thinks it's hilarious. Everybody else doesn't see it. Erica, how do you build a Twitter?
Well, I mean, it's about interacting with people as much as it is about posting your jokes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I don't know what else.
Okay. Now, it's been a while since you posted that how-to. Has Twitter changed?
Probably. I haven't done as much on Twitter for a long time.
Are you doing TikTok now? Or are you
thinking about it, but I haven't signed up for it yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I got a TikTok. I'm not sure. It's so random.
I will say I don't like TikTok's algorithm at all, but what I do like is that TikTok allows you to share videos, and you can save the videos. You can download the videos from it, and it's very helpful.
So there you go.
Yep.
There you go. So the Nerd Nation is just something you created.
Yeah.
Because you were a nerd before nerd was cool.
Yep.
Do you remember when being a nerd was like bad? Like people looked down on you?
Yeah, I remember being like weird, like being in high school playing chess and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
See, I think that's cool, but and now people were like, wow, let's hit up a nice chess game. But
not only was I playing chess, I was also playing card games, you know, like not like poker, but
Magic
like
the Gathering.
Yeah, the nerdy card games. I was definitely, there was a small group of us and we all would get around sixth period and sit around and play those games. Did you ever? Yeah, I mean,
I played Magic the Gathering a little bit in college.
Yeah.
The game's a lot different now, though. Like, I don't know the game.
I don't know the game now. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the way
like
the
they added cards. Or?
Well, if you take your cards from back then, which I did foolishly once when someone invited me to a game like a couple years ago, they were like, "You can't use any of these. These are ancient." So I'm like, "Ah, okay."
Oh man,
you were using ancient magic in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah,
your ancient 2000
it has to be on the
magic.
Right card. It's okay if it's old, but it has to be on the right card. Yeah.
Oh no, I've never played Magic the Gathering in my life.
I haven't played in like at least 10 years.
But I will tell you that. And I'm not, it's just something I've never done, but I look at people like that do Dungeons and Dragons, Magic the Gathering, and I'm like, I wish I got into that and could, you know, make friends like that. I was the guy, this is how nerdy I am. And it's funny how this is 2022 and everybody's having nerd fights, like how nerdy they were. This is how nerdy I was. I was the guy in gifted class that the other kids wouldn't talk to.
Oh.
Because I wasn't nerdy enough.
What?
Or maybe I was too nerdy. I don't know. I was a kid. I don't know. I just like I didn't fit in gifted class.
I would have talked to you.
I was the outcast in gifted class. Well, there are a couple people that talked to me, but it was like they had their little things and they were doing their little things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I want to be with you guys. And I was the outcast in the sea of outcasts.
Aww.
I still feel that way about the goth scene, Tommy.
Wow.
Because when I go to a goth club, I'm like I understand that I'm in a club full of outcasts.
Pretty much, yeah. But you still feel that way even there though?
I know I'm an old school respected goth and people know me in the scene, but yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got my friends when I see them, it's great. But especially now, like, you know, now that we're re-socializing after a couple of years,
yeah,
and it's a whole new scene, it's a whole new group of people, and they don't know me, they don't know the legend that is Dark Mark, that
they don't remember the MySpace days.
They don't remember the MySpace days. They don't remember that. So I walk in, and it's like, they have no idea who I am. They don't want. They don't talk to me. They don't want to know me.
You know, that's kind of, you know, definitely at Bar Sinister. There's definitely, since we've been back open, there's definitely a whole new crew that's come in. Like a, not just a younger crowd, but definitely a whole bunch of people I've never even seen before pre-pandemic. Right. But the cool thing Wednesdays, though, is a lot more of the old school crowd that used to go to Bar Sinister, right, which is nice. And it's not as crazy packed, which is...
And you can get parking.
You can get parking, and you can actually have some space a little bit. So
it's, right. So it's okay. But you grew up in Florida, right?
Well, actually, no. My dad retired the last couple of years in Florida. We kind of moved around a lot. My dad was in the Air Force, so I was basically a military brat. And so it was basically like Florida, England, Maine, Pennsylvania, Virginia.
Nice.
It was a little bit of everything. I think I went to about 5 different elementary schools, 2 middle schools, and 2 high schools. So
yeah, I can relate. I mean, my father was in the military, but he just liked traveling around. So I was in all sorts of schools. I was always the new kid. Maybe that's what it is. I was always the new kid in town, so I'm never comfortable with anybody.
Yeah, you're never there for long, so you never get to settle in and have that group of core group of friends, really.
So was your Air Force father pissed off when you joined the Navy?
Or? Oh, yeah, he wasn't too thrilled with that. He was like, Navy of all of them. Like, well, I've already spent like the past 18 years with you in the Air Force. You know, I want to try something else.
And, right.
I had an uncle that was a surgeon in the Navy, and I bust, of course, Top Gun and all that type of thing. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention that, but...
Is that what it was?
Well, it was a part of it. I've always liked the planes and stuff. I know the Air Force has them, too.
I was going to say, if you have planes, why don't you go to the Air Force?
But, you know, they just kind of sweetened the deal. Originally, I was supposed to join the Marines.
Right.
And then the recruiting station that I went to, they had all 4 places in there in different rooms, and I went out to smoke a cigarette, and there was a Navy recruiter out there and basically sweet-talked me into... switching over after I already...
What was the selling point?
Oh, that I'd be able to fly helicopters.
Oh,
oh, cool.
And also,
that's pretty good.
I was involved. I was also interested in other things. Like, you know, I was interested in possibly trying to go out for buds.
I'm sorry, buds?
Yeah, which is SEAL training. It's like the first 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we were all thought you'd meant weed. We didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, but that course didn't pan out, so. Yeah, and
because there's some good buds in the Navy, I would imagine. If you go to poppy fields and all sorts of things.
And the Marines are usually the ones that have all those buds.
Oh, Marines are the ones that have the buds, really?
They're the ones that always got us in trouble.
Oh.
But
Tell us the story about when you got in trouble in the Navy.
Oh.
I love these stories. My father was in the Navy. I got to hear this.
Let's see. Which one could I pick? Good example. I think there was a Marine that was on the base. We all had duty, basically, so we had to stay on the base in our particular group, and this Marine, he got some acid, and so we all decided that, well, we gotta stay at the barracks all weekend, we might as well just drop acid, even though we forgot that we had to go to the duty station to check in every, you know, I think it was like every 6 hours or something. So basically we're already tripping, and we had to go and check in at the security station and at the duty office, and we're all just, our eyes are bulging. Of course, you get that nervous sort of thing going on, and we're all like looking at the ceiling, hoping that he's not looking in our eyes, trying to like hide that we're all tripping. And he doesn't even give a damn. He's just like reading a book or anything. He's like, whatever. And we just walked out, and it probably took us like 2 hours to get back to the barracks when it was only 10 minutes away, but it was ridiculous. But
well, he's probably tripping too.
Oh, he was probably, yeah. Navy guys and Marines.
Navy acid trippers.
Yeah, that was one of the times. But
did you see any combat? Any?
The only thing I was on a 6-month cruise during the Bosnia whole Bosnia thing. I was up in the flight deck, and you, of course, loading planes up with bombs. You would like be out there, and we just did a bunch of bombing with Bosnia, the whole situation that was going on at that time.
You personally, or?
Not me personally. I was working on jet engines and refueling and all that fun stuff.
Was it hard for you to get accustomed to being on a ship?
Yeah, the first week, I think I threw up. I was doing a temporary duty. I worked for the Admiral's Mess, so I basically had to serve the Admiral and his staff dinner. So I go in there, and the aircraft carrier, which is huge and is hard to feel
in the first
place... For some reason, since I guess I didn't have my sea legs yet, I was feeling it, and I literally fell over, and this whole plate of butter was flying all over the place. And as soon as I got back up and from being embarrassed and everything, I literally felt it in the pit of my stomach that something was about to happen, and ran straight to the restroom.
Oh, man.
And I was just Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Was that common? Did a lot of sailors have a difficulty adjusting?
It seemed like it, especially newer guys like us. That was my first time, my first experience on a ship. I just got out of boot camp and I just got out of A school, which is when you learn your where your trade. And but once I threw up that one time, the rest of the time I was fine.
That's so great. That's quite the adjustment. I have never been on a ship for a long period of time, so I wonder what it'd be like.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you're stuck in a ship with 5,000 other dudes. I think we had 3 women on the boat.
That would make me throw up. Now, you threw up in front of the Admiral?
No, I ran to the restroom, so no one saw anything. But I'm glad I made it. I couldn't believe I made it that far, because it was that kind of like you start feeling at the top
right.
of your throat feeling.
Well, I've felt that on boats, and I've also felt that after a night at Bar Sinister, but which is where I tried absinthe for the first time, and I never heard of it. Northern California.
Yep.
Right in Nerd Central.
Yep.
Like right by Silicon Valley.
Yep.
And you were like you were a technical writer.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I've heard this a few times, and I have no idea what that is.
Pretty much it's just, like you write the instruction manuals for how to do things, like, that are technical. Not the best. Okay. I'm doing a good job explaining it, aren't I? But you know what I mean? Like,
that makes sense, yeah.
You bought software, and you're like, how do I use this? Where's this button or this thing? That's a really common one. Another one would be, like, how to program something. You might write, like, code snippets, things like that.
Wow.
And stop me if this is inappropriate, but what does that pay? Because I have a friend who wrote a math textbook, and they paid him a $5,000 bonus. Is it, like... Is it something you can live off of, or?
It is, but it depends on the job, like, and where it is, and, like, the hours.
Yeah, because that's such an obscure way to do it, but it is, I'm a writer, too, obviously, and it's a type of writing that is something that you could make money off of and potentially a career.
If you do a book, I think those, like, kind of pay less, actually, just because they're going to sell the book afterwards, and they're trying to get money out of it that way. I don't know, but I think that... kind of sucks, but that's kind of how it is.
Okay. So how many have you written?
Books? Not
books, but like technical manuals? What do you write?
I've written a lot of stuff. I've done it since I graduated from college. So like I've written all kinds of different technical things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, have you been able to bring your sense of humor to that?
Like
throw a joke in there when people.
I think they'd frown upon that.
I have one boss who liked jokes and the stuff, so I would turn them in, but then he would like basically take them back out. He'd be like, "I thought about it, never mind." So I'm like, "All right, that was like the closest we got."
I had a feeling you tried to slip something in, and it didn't work.
No, I like didn't try to slip it
like
in.
Some weird code, like throw it in there and
just start laying puns down.
So, but it's funny that you ask about that. How much he was making? Now you were doing that, and if I'm correct, if I heard this correctly, your mother was the one who said you should do stand up comedy.
Yep.
Even though you had such a great technical job and a Stanford degree.
Yeah.
Well, that meant you were funny, right? Like she's like, you're funny. You should do stand up comedy.
She wanted me to try it. I think partially also because she'd always sort of wanted to try it generally. So then she's like, you try it, and I'm like, okay, fine.
Even though you had horrible stage fright.
Yep.
Crippling stage fright.
Yep.
What did you do to overcome the stage fright?
I just kept having crippling stage fright and doing comedy.
Just powered through.
I was gonna say, have you gotten past it? It seemed like you did, but
I think I have compared to then, but it's still there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's funny because, I mean, there's so many people doing comedy. Like, my dry cleaner does comedy. Everybody does fucking comedy. After the show, Tommy's like, hey, when can I start doing comedy? They used to have, like, there used to be the number 3 fear in the nation was public speaking.
Yep.
It's cured. It's cured because every fucking person is doing comedy now.
I think social media probably had a lot to do with that because whenever you state your opinion on social media, you're talking to potentially thousands to millions of people.
Yeah. Yep.
Potentially. Potentially, and then you go to an open mic and you're talking to 10 comedians. Or that show we went to this week, and boy, oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
We went to see a friend of ours, and it was...
She was great. She's trying something new.
Quite a doozy.
Yeah.
It was quite a doozy. And
I think you mentioned it when we went out after the show in the group. Right?
No,
the show that went on forever? Or
no, that was a different show.
That was a terrible show.
That was the show at the Comedy Shack.
I rarely say mean things about people, but that was a terrible show.
Which was the worst show I've ever performed on in my life. And did you start doing comedy in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
And what's the difference between there and L.A.? Do you have those shows that we were talking about like we do here?
I think there's less Ringer type shows or events where it would go on like that.
Right.
But I don't know. I haven't been there for shows in a long time. So.
Right. Like, but because from
more Santa Cruz.
No, I know. But in that area, like, you know, I talked to Stephen Pearl and other comedians in that area. It just seems to be a lot more improvisational up there.
Oh, I think there's a lot of stuff. Maybe there's some improvisational stuff, but I also think there's a lot of stuff where it is like it's like kind of more intellectual, or people have more weird jokes, and that
right.
And if you start there or something difficult is when you go other places, people are like, I don't like tell regular jokes. What the heck?
It's not like a Robin Williams improvisational thing.
No,
it's very structured, very jokes, and very to the point. It's very funny.
It was very funny.
Oh, thanks.
Of Steve Pearl, Robin Williams, Greg Proops, and like people like that coming out of the Bay Area that are really all over the place.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Nope.
No, you're very structured, very, and it's good.
Yeah.
And it's good. I was listening to your new album today, the Unicorn Party 2.
Yeah, Unicorn Dance Party 2.
Unicorn nice. Dance Party 2.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to Unicorn Dance Party 1?
So I thought it would be funny not to make the first one and then just have two and then eventually do something where I do like either a podcast or something where like we reference it. That would be like one of the running gags in the background. We'd reference Unicorn Dance Party 1 and it just doesn't exist.
Oh, did I just mess that up?
No.
Okay. Your own podcast, a different podcast. Not this one, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my podcast.
But
if I ever do one.
And I did. It's on Amazon Prime as well. And I listened to the audio, not the video. So, is there a unicorn like on the stage? Or I heard that.
There's a giant unicorn float in the background. And
And what was your thought behind that?
It'd just be fun to have like a unicorn as like a stage decoration.
I think that's very fun. Yeah. You know, it'd be even more fun if it was a pinata.
Yep.
Or a unicorn pinata.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
Although
there's one as big. The float is actually pretty big.
Too. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have you always been into unicorns?
What? Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, she's the commander of the Nerd Nation.
Well, I know she's commander of the Nerd Nation, but I thought the whole unicorn dance party was you were talking about how you wish men's dicks looked like unicorns.
Oh. That's one of the jokes. Yeah.
I imagine I've never seen a unicorn, but I imagine their dick is pretty
impressive. Tommy, does your dick look like a unicorn?
I would hope not. It doesn't seem like it'd be.
It'd be like a real blunt instrument. I would think.
Yeah,
I don't think she's talking about the horn. I think.
Please explain, Erica.
Well, no, I don't have a thing about that. I do have a joke where somebody's dick turns into a unicorn.
Ah, okay.
In general, and it's okay. It's like an absurdist.
Ridiculous. I was going to say that's a little ridiculous.
I was paraphrasing.
I was thinking if you've been to Colorado, we have this big statue of a horse right outside of DIA, and they like sculpted the horse genitalia on the thing, which was totally unnecessary, but they did it. So I'm guessing unicorns probably have reasonable sized genitalia.
So Nicole's just confirmed she's into bestiality. Now, Tommy, when did you get into goth?
Oh, well, I was actually in England. My dad was stationed over there, and that was in just outside of Oxford at Upper Hayford. So that was probably about 87. I'm totally dating myself now.
Right. No, no. trust me, we're all old. Don't worry about it. We're older than we look.
Yeah, I had a friend on the base. His brother was into The Cure and The Mission and a few other bands. And at that time, I was listening to stuff like Iron Maiden and all that.
Yeah.
So made the Golden Age. Switch. Yeah, it was like Motley Crue and all that. And then all of a sudden, it turned to The Cure and the Bolshoi and Bauhaus and Sisters. And
that's when you stopped wearing colors.
Basically, yeah. Everything. Thank God, because I dressed god awful back then.
Oh, come on, tell us.
Oh no, it was like.
Were you one of these Motley Crue kind of guys?
Oh no, it was worse. I mean, because it was a combination. Because like it changed from. I finally got the jean jacket and everything, but before that, before I got into the metal, it was all about like the dolphin shorts and the high socks with the stripes and all that.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
did you do like the parachute pants?
Oh yeah, I had parachute pants. They had them zipped up in the back where you could like fold them into the back pocket.
Oh wow.
So when it was time to go break dance, you just like get them out.
You break dance? You used to break dance?
I was also bad at that. I could do the head spin and I could do a couple other things, but that was about it.
Please. I can't do a head spin. I mean, that's pretty talented.
Please
opinion.
Show us, Tommy.
Oh, God. Wow. Yeah, I don't think that would be good right now, especially with I just had the surgery. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow.
So. No, all right, good excuse. All right, we'll let you off the hook.
Oh, man.
But you'll be back in Breaking 2.
Yes.
Yes.
Breaking 2. Yes, Breaking 2, you know, that'll be like right after Unicorn Dance Party 3. Electric Boogaloo. Oh, but, okay,
yeah.
But Tommy, now when did you start DJing?
DJing, though, was like much later. That was actually during my time in the Navy. I was back in Jacksonville. A friend of mine who actually used to DJ at Bar Sinister for a little while when he first moved back out here. Well, not back out here, but out here. He's the one that got me into it, and that was about 94, 95.
Still in the goth golden age.
Still in the goth golden age.
Because there was the 80s goth golden age, and that was actually two waves. There was the early 80s and the late 80s. You got in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And then the 90s, you had the grunge, and then there was a wave. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
And then at the late 90s, there was the industrial wave.
Oh, yeah, I like that wave.
Yeah, that was that was great. That was when like Leather Strip and all those guys started coming up, and Skinny Puppy was all around and all that still. But Switchblade Symphony and all those guys, Cleopatra Records,
right,
was just killing it.
Sure, but
I got in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think we all kind of did. But but let me ask you now: you haven't always had to DJ goth things. I'm sure you DJed weddings, birthday parties, other things, other nights.
Other nights, yeah. I mean, I've done other nights. I have done a few weddings, not too many.
Right.
Birthday parties, I haven't done any of those. But yeah, other nights, there's like, they have a club on Friday nights now called Club Decades, which is
right. I love really Club fun. Decades. It's so much fun.
Oh, man. So I've been doing like the 90s parties for those and a couple right. other ones. And I think they have a Morrissey one that I'm doing in a couple weeks, but.
But that's still tangent. Kind of. Yeah, that's still related to goth. But because I remember, and I'm gonna throw out a name that is legendary and dates me. But the late great DJ Jen.
Oh, Miss Jen.
Oh, she was
blue haired Jen, right?
She was great. She was the greatest. And but I remember I went to like some club, and it was like we were playing like. And this is the early 2000s, so they were playing like boy bands and like weird stuff. And she was there. I'm like, "What are you doing here?" And she's like, "I gotta make a living."
Oh yeah, I've actually had some of those too. I actually have Borners every year. I do the what's it called? It's the comedy troupe. What are they called? I should know this because I DJ their Christmas party every year, and it's always like hip hop and top 40. It escapes my. But yeah, it's always that type of stuff. So you would never, if you walked in, you'd be, I'm DJing Justin Bieber and all that kind of stuff.
And even though you don't dance like DJ Amanda Jones is always dancing no matter what she's playing, but you still got to pretend like you're grooving.
Oh yeah, I gotta try to.
Yeah. I got a feeling tonight's gonna be.
Luckily, people don't see as much up in the DJ booth we're at now, but yeah.
It used to be right down there, so people had to see you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah.
But
what is the song that always makes them dance?
Lately? God, let's see. I mean, there's.
I can tell you what song always makes them grind. And that hasn't changed since the mid 90s.
Which one?
You know the one. I'll.
Oh, it's Nine Inch
Nails. I wanna fuck you like an animal. Yeah. Always, always. Everybody's on the floor. It's like a. When that plays, it's like a Zalman King movie. It's like everybody's grinding on.
I know when Amanda plays Dramarama, it always goes off.
That one always goes off. That one definitely gets them going for sure.
Yeah.
Aesthetic Perfection always does really well.
And for a while, and I don't think it's true anymore, but for a while it was. This shit will fuck you up.
Oh, God.
You're right. Oh, look. You're right. I remember that people getting down to that.
But I mean, that was, honestly, that was the last song I can remember that, like, people would run out on the floor for that. Like, that was a newer song.
Oh, yeah. They were. That was definitely a huge club dance floor anthem for sure.
Yeah.
But now it's at the point where it's like you just don't even want to hear it anymore. It's almost like just like Heaven by the Cure. It was like. It's been played so many times.
And every time Just Like Heaven comes on, I have to do the fake making out thing that Robert Smith does in the video.
His little eye roll.
Yeah, so cute.
Now, when did you get into goth?
Me? I always liked it on and off since I was, like, a kid, but it was, like, more, like, the originally, like the aesthetic. I liked the clothes and making costumes and stuff, and I started by having, like, kind of, like, gothic style, like Halloween costumes, and then it kind of went from there. Yeah.
And you got into the music and everything.
Yeah.
Now, are you a big cosplayer?
Yeah. So
I know that you have different looks and everything, but I haven't. I mean, do you really cosplay? Do you like?
I have before. There's some characters I really liked cosplaying in the past.
I know you're a big Harley Quinn fan.
Yeah.
But everybody cosplays Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't do it as often anymore. When I was first doing it, it wasn't as popular an outfit.
But if you did the Jester Harley Quinn.
That's the one I did.
Yeah, okay. Because everybody else is doing the Suicide Squad kind of slutty Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and I liked the original outfit. I actually think, I read this somewhere once, like it's kind of more interesting as a sexy outfit because everything is covered.
Yeah, I like the original outfit a lot. Yeah. Like, I remember watching those cartoons as a kid and just thinking it was so cool. Because, like, when you're a kid, you're not thinking, like, this is sexy. You're just like, that is really awesome. And, I thought it was awesome.
Tommy and I were, but...
I think the person I thought was the sexiest was Poison Ivy. I mean, she had the red hair and she had the green bodysuit.
I think Tommy agrees with you, but I gotta be honest. Are you into Poison Ivy? You like that?
You know, I guess. I mean, I never really thought about it, but I mean...
Because your face, like, changed when she said Poison Ivy. You're like,
Well, no, I was like... I was just thinking about it. I was like, well, yeah, I guess they're both... I mean, I guess.
I mean, they're sexy comic book characters.
But
and
back
I know
then, everybody was covered. Like, the same thing with Batman, the animated series, and the X-Men show. Like, everybody was covered. Like, you could see the outline of their bodies, but it was
everybody was covered with skin tight.
Exactly.
Yes. Spandex and... have you cosplayed as Poison Ivy?
Yes, once or twice.
Yeah, I never got into Poison Ivy. I know she's supposed to be like the
hottest. I just like redheads.
I like redheads too, and check out your red hair.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be more red in a couple of months. This is a transition.
Yeah. Well, this is a dye job you weren't completely happy with. Although everybody keeps telling you it's how great it looks.
Everybody likes it. I'll go with it.
Yes. And it goes well with your new book, Slow Burn, which is now available on Lulu.com.
Oh, nice. Nice dropping that in there.
There you go. Well, when do you hear how I drop this in? You've never got, like, furry or brony or any of that stuff? Or what?
No.
How far does the cosplay go? Have you cosplayed as a guy?
What? Yeah.
Like what would you cosplay?
I mean, it's not exactly... Well, I didn't do it very often, but I've done a drag king look.
That's
but
cool.
It's not very good, and I'm short, but yeah, the drag king's name is Rusty Cooter.
Rusty Cooter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I look like kind of like a Joe Dirt reject.
I was thinking that has
right.
to be
so,
gaps
so,
in the
do you
teeth.
Do you have facial hair too?
Yeah, I've done facial hair for it, but I mostly did like dots. So I did like a stipple brush to make it look like I had a beard coming in.
Rusty Cooter.
Yeah.
I like Rusty Cooter. I got to see Rusty Cooter.
And then I had to get these lifts for my shoes so that I would look like a kind of. Of height.
You could just be a short guy.
Yeah, I know.
Look at Tommy.
Yeah, I'm pretty tiny.
No, I'm kidding.
I just meant for drag.
No, I understand.
Better if I was taller. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I love to see that. That's great.
And it's kind of a funny outfit because like it took so that I cover everything like so that I don't have like a waist or anything. I have like really baggy clothes, so it's just like narrow shoulders, and then I just keep.
Right. There's no there's no curves, nothing.
No, but it goes out, so I look kind of like a giant like pyramid or something.
Like the Grimace, or
it's like the clothes are too baggy. Probably I should do something, but
right.
Interesting.
Well, that's good. So you're a short guy with baggy clothes. I've seen plenty around. Actually, back in the late '90s hip hop, you'd be all into it.
Yeah.
Because I read your posts on social media now a lot, and but as of late, I guess some of these guys. They're not measuring up. Their dicks are a little wobbly.
What?
They're not.
Oh, that joke.
Was that a joke or was that
yeah,
is this based
joke.
On a true story?
No, it's just a joke.
Oh, okay, good.
Not
I was
all my
gonna...
stuff on there is like a 100% biographical. It's like a mix of things because it's supposed to be like a joke at the end, so you're not like you know.
Because it was very funny. It was like shooting pull the rope. I forget what the joke was, but it was good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, but I was like, if I went out with her. And things didn't work out, and then I saw that post on Facebook. I'd be pissed.
Well, that's your fault for not being hung like a unicorn.
Well, it's not that.
I think it's weird because guys doing comedy do all that stuff all the time, so it's the same thing.
No, it's funny. No, but same thing. If a guy like goes out with a girl and then talks shit about her online,
popular.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of sets about that at open mics and shows, but also meltdowns.
Mark, were you the friend of mine that said that you had a girl say she wouldn't date you because she was worried about you talking about her in your set?
I've had girls say that.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And I've told them, and I tell every girl that I date, that I would never say anything that she wouldn't approve of.
Oh.
And, you know, I've run jokes by ex-girlfriends, and they didn't approve of them. I don't say them.
If I dated somebody, like, where it's really serious, I did actually do that for the guy I almost married. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was the joke? He had a rule that if I had a joke about him, I had to be the bad guy in the joke. Like, he could never be, like, the bad guy in the joke. And I was like, that's fine. So I had all these jokes where it was me, not him. So.
Wow. Sounds very controlling.
I actually didn't mind it.
Okay.
I asked when I started dating him, is this something that, like, you would want? Do you want to look at the jokes? And then are you comfortable if I have any? And he mostly said, you know, show it to me. I'll decide, blah, blah. And I didn't mind that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point that I actually went out with a married woman, and I had a joke that she cheated on me with her husband, which she did. And her husband was in the audience, and that didn't go over well. But I did have her permission. But the reason I was talking about the penises that don't work is that does summoning Baphomet in the chalk circle make it difficult for you to rise to the occasion? Do you occasionally have one too many bracing shots of absinthe and find it nearly impossible to feel your nethers tickled by the green fairy? If you're not, dear listener, Eddie by Giddy is the wearable device designed to treat ED symptoms for men needing a little assistance in bed. Using the promo code DARKMARK20, you can save 20% off your Eddie purchase, and you and your partner will be chanting incantations of ecstasy faster than you could say red rum. Go to buyeddie.com/darkmark for 20% off your purchase using code DARKMARK20 today. You laugh, but this is a wearable device that works. I've seen the reviews. It does work. Some people it works for like one or two times and the blood flow is restored. Some people just wear it all the time and it works. So you never have to be flaccid again. So that's why I brought it up, and it was a horrible segue. And we never even got to the joke, which I forgot what the joke was. But Tommy, when did you, not that you suffer from ED at all, but or maybe you do, I don't know. But when did you start DJing at Bar Sinister?
Actually the beginning, almost the beginning.
98?
Yeah. It was shortly after they opened up. It was the first couple weeks, and I met Trish. And at the other time, there were two other DJs there. And she's like, yeah, come on, bring your stuff up and go up there. She introduced me to them, but one of the other DJs was great about it. The other one wasn't so thrilled about it. So he was like, sure, you can DJ. You can do 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what? F it. Went out and did it anyway and just showed up every week for the next couple weeks. 15 minutes. So it's like three songs basically in the goth scene, if you're lucky. Eventually that guy quit, and then I took his spot and was just regular. And then the other guy left to go and he moved to Orange County or something to do some other goth club.
Oh, wow.
And then I was the head DJ within the first month and a half of the place being open, so.
That's crazy.
And still there. I took a break for about halfway through that, but.
The Bar Sinister job is, like, an amazing job to have because it's so awesome. Like, you have a built-in audience and it's stable and it's just really great. Is there any other places, any clubs that have come up and then maybe gone down or they're still here that you actually wanted to DJ?
Actually, Club Decades was one of those when they started up. I really loved their format because they had, I mean, it was similar. I know Blue Mondays does a similar thing but it's a totally different crowd, it seems like.
It is. I noticed that too.
And it's weird because it's the same age group, really.
Yeah.
But it's like on Mondays you have that really weird kind of bro get in a fight if I scuff your shoe type of attitude going on. Then on the Fridays, it's just completely.
They only want to dance. Yeah. All they want to do is dance.
They're singing along like it's Kids Bop or something.
Yeah, they love it.
And some of the songs you're playing are Kids Bop. But we went there on 2000s night and they were playing My Chemical Romance. How do you dance to this? But they were dancing to it.
And I think they were chanting that, was it Since You've Been Gone? They love that one.
Yeah. Blink 182 as well. Yeah. But you were there from the beginning. When did you first start going to Bar Sinister?
I think when I first moved here, which would be around like 2012.
Okay, so you missed it. So you missed the big Bar Sinister Dungeon Wars.
Oh, you know, those were great.
That's how far back I go back.
Wow.
No, they had Bar Sinister. You know
it
what Bar
really
Sinister
wasn't
is.
That much of a war. Though.
They had, well, it was for a while, because trust me, because you never went over to the dungeon.
Oh, I did, actually.
Because they had, Bar Sinister was one club. And across the street in Las Palmas, they had the Dungeon, which was a big club, too. And eventually, Bar Sinister won. But there was a few months there, maybe even a year.
Yeah.
It was pretty evenly packed, and a lot of people were going back and forth.
Well, the funny thing was, it was basically the promoters. It was like the promoters over at Bar Sinister versus promoters over there. But as far as the DJs went, we all actually, when Hank Jen would come over to Bordner's, and all of us DJs would just be hanging out, having drinks beforehand.
Right.
They'd get close to 10, and we'd all just kind of scatter to our own separate clubs. But we'd go back and forth in each other's clubs throughout the night. But yeah, there was, the whole promoters were just at each other the whole damn time that first
year. And I remember then, and this is like, what, 2005?
Yeah, it was about 2004, 2005.
2004, 2005, because I remember the word on the street was, and I liked both. And I would go back and forth to both.
I enjoyed it. And I loved Jen's DJing.
Jen was great. And the one thing that was weird about that time is there was one guy, and he was an older guy, like gray hair with a mustache, that used to dance like a robot, that would be in every single goth club you would ever go. If you go to three of them in a night, he'd be at every single one of them. I don't know how he did it.
He was at Ruin. He went to all the places. I think his name was Alan.
I think so, yeah. But he was an older guy with a mustache, and he would dance like a robot.
Yep.
And he was at every single goth club. And the girl that kicked. Remember her?
I vaguely remember him, and I remember the two muscle people. There was a lady and her husband and her boyfriend that were like super ripped, and he would carry her around the dance floor and stuff like a purse, basically.
Yeah, but the Bar Sinister and Dungeon thing, they were right across from each other.
Yeah,
and the word on the street was that Dungeon was where the younger people went.
Yeah,
and the older goths would go to Bar Sinister, because I had a friend.
Would die, basically.
I had a friend who was like just turned 21. She's like, Bar Sinister sucks. It's all for old people. I like Dungeon. And then I took her to Bar Sinister. She's like, all right, it's kind of cool. And yeah, so
I do remember that. Yeah, it was like, I think the phrase was like, where all the old goths go to die, basically.
Yeah, and the ironic thing is 2022, and there's no Dungeon left, or they pop up every now and then. But
Bar Sinister has amazing staying power. I think it's because it gives a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got Purgatory, it's got Harry Potter night, it's got every after party you can think of. Like, Bar Sinister knows what it takes to make a club run.
Well, let's be honest. In 2005, Harry Potter night would be shunned.
You're the commander of the Nerd Nation.
The commander of the Nerd Nation would love it. But did you ever get into Harry Potter? Seriously, I'm trying to gauge how nerdy you are.
I got into Harry Potter.
I like all the Harry Potters, and I own all the books in hardcover.
Yes, that is the way to be.
That's cool. No,
I have a tie. I have one of the Harry Potter ties.
Right.
Which house?
I got one for House Gryffindor.
Okay.
Yeah.
What house are you in? I'm a Gryffindor.
I don't know. I know a couple Slytherins. I don't know. I know nothing about it. Did you ever even get the Fantastic Beasts? I don't even know.
I didn't see that. No.
No. Do they have books on that? I think they do.
Maybe I didn't read it either.
I don't know.
Right. You just, if Harry's not in it, you're not interested. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing that everybody's a nerd now?
I think it's a cool thing, because I think maybe back then, when people got like beat on for liking whatever they like or made fun of, other people maybe like secretly wanted to like it and couldn't, why they're doing that. That's why they're being a bully. That's why they're being a shit.
Right, because you can't like football now. You can't like the stuff that people used to like that beat us up, because it's not nerdy enough.
I thought you could like football now. I mean, I think it's really nerdy.
I think there are a lot of sports bars.
If you hear people talk about
it, you can't like DC like because Marvel rules. You can't.
But they know all the stats for everyone, and then they're like, you're arguing about which character can beat the other one up. And I'm like, you're arguing about which
team is
going to
be
the
that's
and
how
like,
I felt about fantasy football too.
It's just another kind of nerd.
Right. But that's fantasy football. Like, they don't actually watch the games. Somebody actually
they
sits
have
down
to
and
watch
watches
the games, or they can't make the right picks.
Yeah. No, they just get the stats out of the paper. They don't watch the games. Like, if someone actually sat down and watched the game for the game, like, what are you, a dork?
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
I think adults still do it, because it's how you drink. You sit at a sports bar and you drink and you watch your favorite team.
No, trust me, I'm sure, but the nerds will frown on that. But nerds are turning into bullies.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But then again, they've always been bullies to me, so I don't know. But that's good for you, because you're the commander of the Nerd Nation.
Nerd Legion.
Huh? Nerd Legion.
Nerd Legion. That was my fault. I said Nerd Nation.
No. That's my fault for not remembering it. But
it's okay.
Is your legion becoming increasingly warlike? Is that what's happening?
What?
You can't watch any of these movies without analysis and spoilers before the movie. Like, you can't watch Wonder Woman without it being spoiled and criticized and Doctor Strange or any of that stuff, because it's like you got just all this discourse on the internet, like, and it's like, oh no.
To me, I
don't know. I thought it was cool when they were coming out, but with superhero movies, but now everything's a fucking superhero movie.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, well, can we have some like independent movies, like character studies for once? Like we used to when nerds didn't.
There's a new movie coming out called The Invitation.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really good. It's about vampires.
All right. Well, cool. Vampires are nerdy. But speaking of not nerdy stuff.
And sexy. They're the sexy nerds.
The vampires are the sexy nerds. But speaking of sexy nerds, you go to Burning Man.
Yeah.
You're a burner.
Yep.
So when did you first start going to Burning Man?
I'm
so jealous, by the way. I've never been.
I've never been either.
I went my boyfriend wanted us to go.
Right.
And he's like, I'll take care of everything. And I was like, okay.
The one who said, don't do any jokes about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially at Burning Man. I would imagine, like, hey, we went to Burning Man and listen to this. I would sure he wouldn't want to hear that.
Yep.
So how was it?
It was really fun.
Yeah.
It was like, I would say some years are like, it's like some years can be really difficult or bad, but there's a lot of like really amazing, like magical years. So.
Right.
I've never been. I want to go. I also want to go to Lightning in a Bottle. Have you been there?
No, but I keep getting invited, but it doesn't work out. My friend wanted me to go. He like works there.
I hear it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Is it getting progressively worse as it goes on, or is
Burning
it,
Man?
Yeah. Or
it's
is
getting
it,
different? So I agree with some of the stuff where people say, hey, it's more corporate now. It's like this or that is missing, and I'm like, well, you went from like this small community of people to like it's a city of 80,000 people that exists for 1 week. So it's going to be a little different than if you were there like for the whole time for like tons of burns and stuff.
I agree. What's your favorite part about Burning Man?
What was my favorite part about Burning Man? I really liked the art in the desert. And then I really liked some of the art cars. There was like a giant spider that someone built that was like mechanical and like it got driven around. And it was like this, it's incredible. It's this giant vehicle that someone just built just to go to, I mean, I'm sure they used
it for
other
stuff.
What did
they build it out of?
It was like all metal or.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just would walk around the desert. It was kind of cool.
How did it walk? Did it have a person powering it?
No, it was like a vehicle, but it was like legs.
So it was like a robot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, and then there was other crazy stuff. Like someone had like a giant octopus on top of their car, and the octopus like shoots flames out of all the tentacles and it drives around.
Wow.
And then there's like just weird stuff that happens. I used to like by myself just to get like a pack of clove cigarettes and just walk around and see everything on my own. And there'd be really interesting adventures.
Goth.
One of the
clothes.
They're really good. Anyway,
right.
I have like two kinds in my bag, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's very goth. That's super goth. Well, if you have one clove cigarette in your bag, that's one thing. But if you have two, that's super goth.
Let's see. I don't know. I'll count them.
Look, Tommy's impressed. Look at this.
Oh, no. Yeah, I remember the clothes. I used to buy those in the early years of the goth. Which I thought that was a cool thing to do, so I would.
I don't even smoke, but I love the, you know, you walk into a goth club and you just have that clove smell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love
some people
smell.
Love them. Yeah. Like someone bummed a cigarette off me to use as incense. He said, I don't smoke. I just want to use this as incense. Like, okay.
Have you ever loaned that cigarette to me and then somebody puffed on it like, oh, it's a clove.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes, yeah. They're like, or they're like, ew, I don't want that. Like, and I don't like the smell. That's also happened. They're very divisive cigarettes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, it's a. But that's something that separates the goths from the non-goths. But yeah, I was talking to you. How has the goth scene changed?
The goth scene?
Because you've been there for since 98.
Since 98, yeah.
So that's like four generations at least of goths that you've
It's
DJed
changed
for.
So much. And it's like, it seems like it's like every 5 or 6 years, it seems like it takes a little bit of more of a change. Lately, it's definitely more electro lately. You know, that kind of synth wave mixed with industrial. Definitely seems more dominant than the other stuff right now.
Like, give me an example. Because tell me a good new goth song, because I haven't heard one in a while.
A good new goth song. Well, She Passed Away. I wish I could pronounce the names of their songs because they're from Turkey and they're all Turkish names. But She Passed Away is pretty damn cool.
The band's name is She Passed Away.
Yeah.
It wasn't somebody that passed away.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's a super goth name.
That's a very goth name. And those guys are great. Every time you pop those guys on, or another band called Trust.
Okay. I like Trust.
I know Trust.
Yeah, those guys also get he definitely gets the dance floor going pretty well.
So when the pandemic hit,
oh yeah,
you were out of DJ work, but then you were DJing on Zoom.
On Twitch, yeah.
Oh, you're doing Twitch too. I forgot to mention
that.
How's that going?
Twitch was fun. It was actually, it got really out of hand there for a little while. It had a ridiculous amount of bottles that I had to keep getting rid of each week because...
What?
Oh, yeah, because on Twitch you have these things. People, as they watch, they collect points, and so they can take their points and they can use them to spend on different things that they can make you do. You can kind of adjust it yourself and make your own rules up, but there's something you can just pick. But one of them in particular was do a shot. And so these people would just be drinking already in their places, and it was like every few minutes, like, do a shot. So you're doing... I remember at some points at the end of the night, because the whole thing was in my living room. And so when you're done with it at the end of the night, you're having to break it down, too. And there was plenty of times where I'm just crying around the floor. Like,
you don't wait till the morning?
Oh, no. And I did pass out a few. I'd wake up, and I'd still have a cable in my hand. And, like, you know, it was brutal. So, yeah, I started changing that. You started getting wise to it. Like, you know, it is bad luck to just shoot water. So the way around it was, like, do, like, 75% water and just, like, put a little dash of whiskey in there at first. To kind of...
The Dean Martin technique.
Exactly. And then eventually it started turning into like pickle juice instead because no one can see the color really. So, and pickle juice has electrolytes in it. So
I'll take your word for it.
Helps with those hangovers that next morning. So
did you like doing the Twitch shows? How are they different?
They were fun. You got to do your own little thing. You had like your own little stuff. I mean, you're playing basically what you want in your living room, and everybody had their own little things the way I do it. I had like a little pup, like the punchy nun that I do every once in a while, and sometimes I dress up as Deadpool, and just like different.
So you cosplay
things.
Too?
A little bit, and it's all Deadpool though. It's just like mixing Deadpool with like, I think I did one that was like the Walking Deadpool, which was Negan and Deadpool mixed together.
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
And actually, before the pandemic, that Halloween I was going to do the Lollipop Guild mixed with Deadpool, so it'd basically be a Munchkin with that, with like the little.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So you had that Walking Dead look, which was the dark hair with the gray beard.
It was the mask, but I had like the leather jacket on and the little red bandana that Negan wore and all that.
Because I tried to get into Walking Dead, but I was like, wait a second, how are all these guys getting hair dye?
Oh,
they all have dark
hair
with white beards. How are they getting hair dye? I don't get.
Yeah, everything is going gray besides their.
It's every character. It's like the Negan, the Andrew Lincoln. They all had like gray beards and dark hair.
They finally started switching it up. I still watch it occasionally, and yeah, they finally started to get gray in the hair, and it's more ratty and stuff.
Oh, okay, good. Finally.
But for a while there, it was that whole thing. It was like they're still having those great haircuts and hair dye. And
So how were the goths on Twitch?
That was fun. It was fun. It was really fun. At first, we weren't because of Twitch was mostly for gamers at that time, mostly. So when we first got on there, I think Slave, me, Rocky, and a few other people started to get the DJ thing going on there. We'd get a lot of people, well, not a lot, but there would be a few gamers that would come on and start just, heckling, basically, and being pissed that we're on there and it's supposed to be their platform and all that. And
oh, really? You got some of that shit?
You'd go over to their thing and they would have like 15 followers. And so it was like it was really bizarre, but they eventually went away, and now there's umpteen million DJs on there and ASMR. There's bands that perform there every once in a while. I think Metallica had that one thing where they were on there and they were playing their own music, because that's another thing about Twitch is crazy, is you're not supposed to be playing copyrighted material. So once you're off, they basically mute a lot of the recording.
Do you think there's a future between maybe Twitch and, like, virtual reality? Like, because I could see something like this being watched on an Oculus.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really damn cool.
Have you done VR DJing?
I haven't, but I would definitely be interested in doing that.
So, do you get the energy from the people on Twitch you would in a live setting?
At first, it was awkward, but after about a month and a half, there was definitely, because of the conversations that people were having on there, and you're having that mutual interaction with them on that, you definitely get in there and get into it. It's actually, it seemed a lot more intimate, actually. It was cool getting to know people on there, and they're, like, asking for songs, or they're talking amongst each other, having whatever else is going on. So it was actually a really cool experience, and I still do it. I still set up the Twitch at the club and do it there. I haven't done it the past couple of weeks just because, like I said, I've been recovering from hernia surgery and carrying all that stuff up that spiral staircase.
That is excessively brutal. I'm glad you're recovering.
Thanks. Yeah, that was crazy.
Right. Well, I'm sorry that we talked about Dick so much. Since you just had hernia surgery. That's awful. But because I don't know. I've done Zoom comedy now. When the pandemic hit, like your special hit Amazon Prime, you had like a whole momentum going, and then the pandemic hit. How did you take to that?
I just like got a bunch of hobbies.
Like what?
Gardening. I tried weightlifting. I was really bad at it. I had really? Like a diet with it where I didn't. I actually like it wasn't enough food, so I just lost weight and I lost strength for part of it. So not really good at it.
Yeah. So you didn't get the protein. So
I just didn't have enough calories. I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So weightlifting and gardening.
Yeah, I did that, and I did a bunch more reading. I did some like calligraphy stuff. I took all my like arts and crafts things
that's cool,
out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just do calligraphy again. Why not?
Now, did you do Zoom shows?
I did a couple Zoom shows. So, yeah.
Wow, right?
I didn't mind them actually. Like sometimes it was weird because like people can't like hear or you can't hear them or whatever, but
yeah.
Some of them were pretty fun. The ones I ended up on were pretty fun.
No, you're right. I did some good Zoom shows, but I did some really shitty Zoom shows. I had one where like this guy, like the guy, like the host was playing sound effects, like stepping on every joke, and it's like, what am I doing here?
I saw that happen once at a comedy club. It was kind of funny. It was a really late night, and someone set, and someone in the back had that app for a while that makes all the different
sitcom
noises.
Yeah,
and they got it plugged into the system, so the person was doing their jokes, and then different sounds would happen.
Oh man!
And the guy on stage was getting like so mad, which I don't blame him. Like it's mean, but like it was like his friend doing it, so they were like screwing with each other. And then it was like very late at night, so it wasn't like this ton of audience who would be like, "Hey, like what is this?" And so the audience that was there found it funny. So it was
I don't know. I just like I've been in clubs where somebody actually did a joke and it bombed, and then somebody played a sound effect.
Oh, just like in the audience?
No. I mean, well, no. The guy putting on the show like had access to like one of these like sound buttons. There's no sound coming out of the ones that I'm pushing right now. But they would have some wah wah, and but like I didn't even get the joke out. Like I was pausing for comedic effect, and it's like, and you're like, oh, are you a warrior woman?
No, I'm like really small. I sell them their hats and their armor. Like, here's your stuff.
Really?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. When you did my show, you, Virginia Jones, and Damian Berlina, it got very feminist at the end of that show we did a couple weeks ago, but you guys were funny, so it was great.
Oh, I didn't have any feminist jokes.
I think you made fun of men for something.
But that's not feminist. It's just making fun of men.
Do you think a man can be a feminist?
Sure, why not?
Because he's not a woman and he doesn't know what a woman feels.
But just because you don't know how someone else feels doesn't mean that you can't relate or have compassion or find a connection point.
Empathy.
Yeah.
No.
If they're dating you and they're like, hey, I'm a feminist, like now you worry. Like,
exactly.
If you just started dating them, but like, otherwise.
No, because I've had girlfriends accuse me of being feminist, and I'm so feminist, I guess I say that a man can't be a feminist unless he's a drag queen, because he doesn't know what it's like to be female. He could be an ally.
It's weird because a drag queen, that they don't know what it's like to, the person doesn't necessarily know what it's like to be a female either. Like, depends on how you define femininity and what their style is. And
I have
what someone
a few
else
feminist
thinks.
Friends.
Yeah.
They're
but
men.
But that's, and that's just, that's getting blurred as we go along.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, anybody for any of it. So yeah.
As long as you believe we're allowed to have the same rights as a man, you're a feminist.
Well, yeah. I think anybody with a brain knows that.
Well, I mean, some people...
You would be shocked. I mean, come on. Have you not seen the news?
Did you hear the whole sentence? I think anyone with a brain would know that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of men with no brains.
But unfortunately, because enough of the people with a brain still think the way that they think that men should know better. And so men that actually think that women have a right to be who we are different than men that think women... People just don't think that women deserve to be equal. And the men that do, are feminists, in my opinion.
Well, and in your case, they're right, but every other woman's case, they're wrong. No, I'm kidding, of course. No, of course women deserve to be equal. I'm kidding, Nicole. It's a bad joke.
Okay.
Enjoy the fireball, please. It's a bad joke. It's a horrible joke. She's laughing now at the badness of the joke. We're all appalled by the abortion ruling.
That wasn't what I was talking about. I'm genuinely speaking about the fact that So there's a fine line between the protection and security that men offer women and have offered women for generations, and the also concept that we're property or something that needs to be taught. Something there's that protection thing gets skewed where they think that they have to do these things for us because we just can't do them on our own, and that's not true. So if you believe that a woman is equal to a man, you're a feminist.
Okay. I guess I'm a feminist then.
I guess
you are.
Me too.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. That's good.
Tommy.
That's an awesome definition too. Because it leaves space for everything. Because one of the things I always say is like, it's about a freedom to choose who you want to be. So it doesn't, in my opinion, have to be a certain specific way. And some, like if you study it, there's like rules. There's like certain types of feminism.
Sure.
I don't think I'm very feminist though.
You don't?
I wasn't, until we started backsliding. Like, I was, like, okay with the progressive path we were taking, but now that we've gotten to the point that we're going back, like, generations, I'm kind of, now I'm becoming a feminist, which I wasn't, but now I've been triggered. I'm like, you know what? No, that's not right. You can't treat me that way.
Yeah, the whole,
Well, you're a strong, smart woman, and obviously a genius. So, I would say so.
I don't think you're a genius. That makes me feel weird.
No, but I mean, your brain is so analytical.
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, you don't walk into a room and think you're smart and feel that you're smarter than everybody else.
No.
You don't talk to people like at a party and like, oh my god, they're so beneath me intellectually.
No.
Like you don't say words that people have no idea what you're saying.
I hope not. Maybe if I drink a bunch at the party.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, we got some fireball here. Tommy, tell us. Because you told me I want to come on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And we're wrapping up. But you said, I have so many stories.
Oh, God.
Of DJing at goth clubs and Bar Sinister. Let's hear them.
Jesus. Oh. Well, I mean.
I always love putting people on the spot. People are like, I want to come on your podcast to tell all these stories. And it's like, okay.
Well, I mean, one in particular, this one. Well, of course, like. All right. Well, there was like this one time. It was like pre-pandemic, too. It was probably like early 2010 or so, there was a guy that was like all that whole the gas mask,
right?
Industrial guys. So he had the mask on, he had like the long skirt on, just like really going at it on the dance floor. He was already pretty wasted. I remember I think the bottom of the skirt went underneath his combat boot, and he just head first into the concrete floor of the dance floor.
Jesus.
Ouch.
And he was just laid out, and all of a sudden, like, I turned the music down, the lights came up, and you just see this like pool of blood just coming out the back of this guy. He's not moving at all, so we're all thinking this dude just like ate it for like luckily by the time the ambulance got there and all that, they revived him and everything. Funny thing was, the guy came back the next week, had like staples in the side of his head, still dancing, still has a mask on. Same probably skirt he wore the week before.
Jesus.
But
well, that was that big, the big gas mask skirt thing in 2009, 2010.
Oh, yeah, and they had all those like GIFs and videos on YouTube with them, a bunch of them doing the underneath the overpass, doing their industrial dances.
Because you go back to where like everybody that walked into Bar Sinister looked like Marilyn Manson.
Oh, there was that too. Yeah, that was like down to 2004, 2003 time frame. Yeah, there were several of those guys with the one colored eye and the other.
Yeah, and then the gas mask people came in.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of the trends that have come and gone.
Steampunk was a big
one. Oh, yeah, the steampunk. That was the thing. Everybody was wearing brown.
Oh, yeah, there was all of that.
Yeah, and there steampunk always baffled me. You ever get into steampunk phase?
A little. I like some of the aesthetics and the stuff for the outfits.
Some of it's cool, but it's like, I don't know. The guy, like, explains
it. Also, what's the name of the book that was, I forget who wrote it, but he's like, damn it. The first steampunk book, the one that kind of like William Gibson wrote it with someone else. That's
right. What it is, right? It wasn't Necromancer, was it?
Cyberpunk. That's Cyberpunk,
But, yeah, no, I remember somebody was like,
but he also worked on a steampunk one, so.
No, I remember I went on Steampunk Night and I was talking to a guy and he's like, yeah, we're in the future, but electricity hasn't been invented yet. I'm like, wow, what a time. I'm just wearing a suit. I don't know what's going on.
Everybody's in balloons.
So the door code at Bar Sinister is very strict.
It is, it's definitely gotten strict.
Which is weird because I see less and less people wearing goth.
It's so
mixed. They're paying
now.
$5 extra.
Yeah, they're all paying. It's like, I think it's $20 if you're not in dress code or something like that. Which for a while there, like, it was a great deterrent. But now people are to the point where, like, they don't care. They want to come and people gawk or whatever they're doing. But yeah, it definitely isn't a deterrent anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, because my friend came in there and he was wearing black pants and a really dark gray sweater, and they made him pay $5 extra because he wasn't wearing all black.
Wow.
But he was black. So he could have walked in naked, and they would have said, okay. Yeah. And I also, there was another girl that had, she was wearing a Cure shirt and black pants, but she had sneakers on. They charge her
extra.
Yeah,
they've been really strict about sneakers, which is crazy.
And it's like, come on. And she's like, I just got off work. I'm like, it's a Cure shoot. That should give you a pass, but no.
Yeah, I think that was a management thing. Yeah, that's too much. I mean, you've got, like you said, a Cure t-shirt. And even the gray shirt and black pants.
You would think.
But aside, Mark and I have nothing but love for Bar Sinister. That's actually where we met for the first time.
Yes.
And then we rekindled. There's an old picture of me wearing a black outfit. I have hair almost this exact same color, actually. And it was when I was doing the author thing. And Mark took that picture, I believe, of me standing next to an angel. And there's a picture of me with Mark wearing his hat. And we had so much fun at Bar Sinister when we were first getting to know each other. Do you remember these things?
It's coming back to me. But I was gonna ask Tommy now. I know I've seen plenty of celebrities at Bar Sinister. I felt bad because one night I saw Martin Gore from Depeche Mode and went up to him and said hi and said I was a big fan. And then afterwards, like, everybody mobbed him and he had to leave. And I felt such an asshole.
That happens a lot there.
But what's the most incongruous celebrity you've ever seen at Bar Sinister? Not Dave Navarro, not Martin Gore, not anybody in the bar scene, or the goth scene. What was, an incongruous celebrity that you saw just roaming around there?
Let's see. God, it's Rivers Cuomo. Billy Vallo from Him.
Well, that's kind of in the scene. But Rivers Cuomo, that's an odd one.
What is his name? Kiefer Sutherland was a big one for a while there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and he would get hammered next door at Bordner's and come over there and get on with a dancing cube, just totally red-faced. And
that's amazing.
Go-go dancing, basically.
I remember I saw him fucked up on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
I was down with this girl, and these guys were pulling this guy out of a bar. Like, it was a gay bar, too. And my friends are like, you think he's gay? I'm like, no, I just think he's a fucking drunk.
Oh, yeah.
The guy stank like shit. I mean, he stank like he like hadn't bathed in like 3 days. And it's funny because I didn't recognize him at first. You think like, wow, this is some guy I know from high school or something. It's like, holy shit, that's Kiefer Sutherland. I didn't take a picture. And if I did, I would probably be Reg.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my favorite nights at Bar Sinister is when Davey Havoc would come and we'd all dance.
Oh, yeah. He was like, Wednesday's party, that was his. He loves going out there and just going to
He's
town.
So nice. He's just one of the nicest people.
He's very sweet.
Well, I hate to go away from these you guys with your celebrity friends, but
you asked the question.
I know I asked the question. But one last question, Erica, because I know you were cracking me up after the show. You came to hang out with us after the show with my friends and half the crowd. But you were telling us your secrets to white people's cooking.
Oh, right. Which one? There's several, but
you know the one.
Where white people food is just where you take food from other cultures and add cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. And white people get mad at me. They're like, why are you talking about white people like you're not white? I'm like, you can see that I'm also white. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there is no white cuisine. That's it. You add cheese.
Yeah,
everything. Everything. You take a Mexican thing, add cheese. Take an Italian thing, add cheese. Is there a favorite cheese that you have?
Favorite cheese? No.
Or because it's white people, it's got to be Kraft American cheese.
Yeah, that's what you said. And I was like, ew, but it's probably kind of true.
Yeah. Macaroni and cheese is it's white gourmet, basically. Every white person I know loves macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Not every white person I know likes mayonnaise, which for some reason is a white person thing.
Yeah,
it's definitely a white person thing. I had mayonnaise today.
I stand corrected. Erica, it's been a delight. I had fun. I don't know. I hope you had fun.
Yeah.
And we love talking to you. Actually, when Nicole and I were talking, we were like, I'm glad we get to hang out with Erica again. She was so totally cool. And I hope you come back when I'm in a weird a state of mind and we could really talk nerdy stuff.
Okay.
But tell people how... what you got going on, how they can get a hold of you, what all the stuff that you have.
I have all my social media stuff, so like I have like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
That's Erikka.
Yeah.
Innes.
Yeah, and then I have my special on Amazon Prime, and I have all the albums on Spotify or you could hear stuff on Pandora or
any music streaming service. It's on Apple Music. Yeah. It's on all that stuff because I have a free trial at Apple Music. I've had free trial of music streaming for 4 years. I just keep bouncing around from one to one, and so I listen to your albums all the time. So,
oh wow, thank you.
Like I said, I listened to the Unicorn Dance Party Part 2, and I look forward to Unicorn Dance Party Part 3.
Oh, I'm gonna just leave it so that it's the sequel to something that doesn't exist, and then there's not another sequel to that. Title-wise,
well,
I love that.
Yeah, so Tommy, that leaves an opening. You can DJ a night, Unicorn Dance Party Part 3, and Erica won't sue you.
That's wow. It'll be like that, like crazy, like a offshoot version of it, I guess. Like a would it be like a bootleg version, I guess? Or
I don't know. But tell everybody how they can see you. You're DJing, is it twice a week or three times at Bar Sinister?
It's Sinister, yeah, twice a week. Bar Sinister on Saturdays. Wednesdays is Wednesday's party. And every once in a while on Sundays, I do a Twitch stream there, which has nobody there but me. So all the lights are off, and it's kind of...
Oh, what? You're in there in an empty club.
Empty club, just me
spinning,
and the DJ
spinning
booth.
Spinning records.
Have, like, the lights going on in the DJ booth, and it's just spinning and Twitch.
Oh, wow. But,
wow. Does like the janitor come through once in a while?
Once in a while they come through there because all the liquor places next door anyway, so they have to come over there and get bottles and all that. So every once in a while a security guy will come through or something. But
most of the time it's by yourself.
Yeah, which is nice. It's actually pretty cool and kind of creepy. So.
Have you seen any ghosts?
There's definitely some stuff going on there, sure.
Oh, yeah. Tell us a ghost story before we go.
Oh, actually, you know, the early years again at Bar Sinister, being up in that DJ booth, they have a mirror for the go-go dancers. At that time, they didn't dress up there, but there was still a mirror up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would see these shadows and stuff pass through this mirror, and it wasn't from the street or anything. And so it was just kind of odd. You just kind of catch it off your periphery. And there had been several times that same night and a couple other nights where you just feel like a brush across your shoulder area.
Ooh.
So that was always interesting. And almost everybody there, bartenders, all... I'd say majority, if not everybody there, has had some sort of incident with something there. So
you don't know if it's a ghost or a homeless person. You never know.
You can never know. Some say it's like a Steve Bordner, original owners, one of the original owners, and a couple other people that have passed actually earlier as a Bar Sinister that used to hang out there. So
maybe it's DJ Jen, like giving you a tap on the shoulder, say, come on, play some older stuff.
Yeah.
Because I know there's people that are like, they don't play the old stuff anymore.
Yeah, I used to play a lot more of the older stuff, but there's so many new bands that are coming out there, amazing. And they don't, at Sinister, I was playing it, when I first opened up, I was playing a lot more of the older stuff or trying to do a good balance of it.
Right.
But they weren't.
Yeah, at that time they were like, all Manson all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now it's all mostly electro and Sinister, but the old school we get to do on Wednesday still, so that's nice.
Right.
That's cool.
Well, thanks for coming by, both of you, and Nicole.
Hello.
And your new red auburn hair. Like you say, your new book, tell them where they can find it.
You can get my book, Slow Burn, on lulu.com, lulu.com. And you can find me at Nicole6Books on Instagram or NicoleH6 on Facebook. Slide into my DMs. Don't be a creep.
Is it? Slide into my DMs. Don't be a creep.
Yeah.
That's like that's so contradictory.
No, people ask me questions all the time that are perfectly rational.
Okay, so slide into DMs. Don't be a creep. That's the name of my next album. And everybody, I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.